97.1.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey everybody, welcome in. My name is Barbara, right here at All Talk Radio Programming at Blue Sky Broadcasting. It's Tuesday. It's time for Speak Up, and thanks to all of you for coming along with us today. You know, it's a special day right here at Speak Up, at the Speak Up table, with Sergeant Justin Scotch, who is with the Idaho State Police. We're going to talk about so much today. First up, oh yeah, my ride-along with that I experienced with Justin and the ISP. Buckle up, everybody, because it was amazing. Also, we have updates for you on statistics in Idaho driving, winter driving cautions, and also an update on training and the Training Academy. If you are thinking about a career in law enforcement or you know someone, this is good information for you to consider. Okay, all that coming your way right after our first break. So sit, stay, and enjoy.
When looking for the highest standard of HVAC service and care, turn to AGE Heating and Cooling, your locally owned Lennox Premier dealer in Sandpoint. Right now, get up to $1,500 in rebates, or qualified buyers make no payments and incur no interest for 12 months financing a new Lennox system. Plus, receive up to $2,600 in federal tax credits. Call 208-603-2210. Online at AGEHeatingandCooling.com. Conditions apply. See dealer for details. License number, Idaho HVAC Contractors License Number 059041.
Get out of your dreams and into an RV from R&R RV.
From Spokane, Washington to Lewiston, Idaho, R&R RV Center is your one-stop shop for RV service, repairs, and supplies. If you're not satisfied with your current dealer, visit R&R RV Center today and ask about the no-obligation 27-point inspection. With over 60 service bays, a full collision center, and chassis shop, R&R RV will get you back on the road fast. Don't put off RV damage either. R&R RV's collision center can handle the biggest jobs, from diesel pushers to the smallest tow vehicles. And ask about winterization service packages and save up to 15% today on parts and labor. Call now to schedule your RV service at R&R RV Center, Eastern Washington's largest RV dealer, Liberty Lake, North Spokane, and Lewiston. Find a location near you at rnrrv.com.
Get out of your dreams and into an RV from R&R RV, your RV superstore.
We all know just because gifts for loved ones can look like flowers, a spa day, or maybe even planning date night. But what about something that will truly last and protect your loved ones along the way? I'm talking about life insurance. I called SelectQuote to secure our coverage and couldn't believe how easy and affordable it was. I'm 40, and my $500,000 policy was only $16 a month. My husband's also 40, and his $500,000 policy was only $18 a month. And with their same-day coverage, there was no medical exam required, and we were covered by the time we hung up. With monthly payments less than the cost of a bouquet of flowers, this is the perfect time to make sure your family is protected.
Call SelectQuote at 1-800-596-2626 or go to SelectQuote.com to get your free quote today. That's 1-800-596-2626. 1-800-596-2626.
Details on example rate at SelectQuote.com.
Don't let cold season make you miserable. Try the quick, drug-free solution for nasal congestion, Navage. Navage uses gentle suction to flush out your sinuses with refreshing saline, helping you breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier all winter long. And here's even better news. Navage is now available at select warehouse clubs in a great new value pack. It's everything you need to start breathing better fast. Check out Navage at your local retailer today. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E, breathe easy.
News Talk 97.1.
Hey everybody, welcome back in. Join me, say hello and welcome to Sergeant Justin Scotch with the Idaho State Police. Justin, thank you for being with us.
Absolutely. I love being here. Thanks.
Again.
Yeah,
I know.
I think it's our fifth time together.
If we count the ride-along, I think it's five. You know, honestly, I want to start there with the ride along. It was so interesting. And like I told you before we went on, everyone I talked to, everyone literally said, I want to do that. Or people were just like lining up Justin to do this. It was very good. Very interesting.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah, people are always excited. You know, that's why, like I was saying earlier, that's why we have TV shows like Cops and Live PD, because it's an interesting job.
Right.
Unlike those shows, obviously they're just showing the exciting times. You know, I think you rode for what, 5 hours about? And, you know, it was pretty relaxed ride along. We had a couple moments of excitement, maybe trying to catch a car or not or whatnot, but we didn't have anything, you know, Live PD worthy or Cops worthy, in my opinion.
But we didn't have a major accident, and I kind of praise God for that. I think that would have been a lot of waiting for me, because if you had been called on that, there'd be a lot that you would be doing from beginning to end.
Right. Yeah, I think I actually got called to one just before I met you, and that one took... It took me 56 minutes to get on scene.
Yeah.
You know, because being a state trooper, we got to go where the calls are. So I had to drive all the way from Athol up to Bonner County, take the crash, investigate it. That was probably another hour, and then come pick you up. So, yeah.
Right.
They can be pretty lengthy.
Exactly.
Especially, you know, because they're in depth.
Even though I think it would have been kind of interesting, I'm glad that I didn't have to see
or
experience anything like that. You know, one of the other things for people that are thinking about a ride-along, two things. If it's you're interested in a career in law enforcement, I would definitely say do that, or ride along with the sheriff or the police or the ISP.
Absolutely. I think anybody interested in law enforcement should certainly come in and see if they can get a ride-along, see if they can schedule one with us. And like you said, you know, try all of your different agencies. Like, I'm obviously going to sit here and I'm going to cheerlead for ISP, because that's where I started. That's where I've been for almost 12 years, and I love my agency. But you should certainly try out the different agencies and see the different kind of enforcement action they take. You know, ISP, we're primarily traffic-based, but you can go to the sheriff's department or city department in your area and just see everything and the different kinds of law enforcement.
They're doing a lot.
They're doing,
you know, domestic disputes.
Theft calls.
Yeah. The other thing that I want to let people know is that they do a full, not full field, I don't know if it's full field, but they do a background check on you.
We do.
You learned a lot about me, and I'm a good girl, aren't I?
I'll keep it under wraps. I won't tell you. But yes, we do like a criminal history check and just make sure people are safe. First of all, you know, our vehicles, we have a lot of different tools. We have weapons in our cars. And we have to make sure that that person is legal to even be around those tools and those instruments.
Exactly. So be advised, but it's an awesome thing. So let's talk about that a little bit. From my perspective, as you kind of mentioned, it seemed to me that most drivers were driving the speed limit. It was a clear day. It was the middle of the morning. And so it was that kind of a typical day for that time of day?
Yeah, especially when we did our ride along, you know, just in the time of the year, traffic was a lot lighter. A lot of the people coming into the area, you know, tourists, they were gone. And plus, we started outside of our prime time window. So our prime time window is usually, I'd say, from 6 to 9 a.m. And then from about 3 to 7 p.m. Those are those primary windows.
Those commute times.
Yeah, your commute times, your rush hour times. So those are the times where you're going to have your heaviest traffic volume.
Yeah.
So we were kind of past that window. So traffic was light, but we certainly had our fair share of, you know, speeds and other infraction level things that were happening.
So. Oh, definitely. There were a couple of speedsters. And when you, by the way, folks, when Justin was approaching the car, which we'll talk about, because obviously there was a protocol the way you strolled up to that car.
Right.
It was very intentional. But I couldn't see the person. I didn't know any stats or data. I never did know the people or their name or their information, of course. But I could hear Justin talking to them. And two speedsters said they were on the way to the airport. I didn't believe them. I thought that's a little bit too convenient. But you did think that.
Yeah, I mean, there was no... I think one of them was going to the airport and one was returning from the airport. And it just seemed kind of peculiar for the day. Like, oh, there's my second. I think I even told him, like, you're the second person I've stopped today.
Exactly.
That's coming from the airport. So it's a popular place, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I had no reason to believe that they would lie to me about that. But you know, everybody has an excuse for.
But you have a antenna. You have stopped and talked to so many people. Right. I just think you and other law enforcement develop an antenna.
Yeah, I certainly get a feel for people. You know, you can read certain kind of body language and the way people are speaking with you. And we saw that with that one car. I think I came back to my vehicle and I told you something's up here.
Exactly.
And then we discovered there was, you know, some issues with a driver's license, and I could just tell there were things afoot, issues afoot.
But. Well, some issues, since I don't know who it was. This was a person who, within the last 30 days, had received a suspended license for DUI.
Correct.
And I'm like, I think my first question was this person drunk? Because not that I would have a suspended license for DUI, but I am telling you, if I did, my headlights would be on, I'd be using my turn signals, I'd be going just right, not too fast, not too slow. And here was this person speeding down the highway.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that because I talk to my dad a lot. He lives in Wisconsin. And he, like most of America, they're very interested in what we do, right?
Yeah.
So he's very excited and he wants to hear the stories. And so he always says the same thing. I mean, if I were, you know, hauling a large amount of drugs in my car, or I was drunk, or I was doing whatever, I would be driving 10 and 2 on the steering wheel. You know, cruise control set.
License plates,
exactly.
Not squirrely,
right?
Looking.
Just, you know, be driving perfect. But for instance, I had one, I think it was last week or maybe the week prior, I had an individual going, I believe it was 93 miles per hour. I stopped him. He had no insurance on his vehicle. He had prior convictions for no insurance, which means that any other subsequent insurance violation is a misdemeanor. So all of these things. And had he not been speeding, I wouldn't even have noticed him.
Exactly.
I mean, there wasn't something about the car other than the speed that was like, I need to stop that car. I just saw a car, you know, like a bullet down the road in an area where, you know, especially it's dangerous, high traffic volumes, our weather's changing. So add all that up and you can have some serious danger, you know, and a lot of crashes. So,
you know, somehow I guess it all goes together. It's like a bundled kind of a thing going on. The other thing that when I was with you for all those hours, there never seemed to be anyone who gave you a bad time. They didn't get angry. They didn't get upset. Nobody was just super angry with you for pulling them over. But there are times, right, when there is a lot of attitude and you've been abused or something.
Yeah, I would say, you know, I usually can count on at least once during a shift, but, you know, nobody wants to get stopped.
Exactly.
And it's totally understandable. So I just try to give people some grace, be as relaxed as I can, but I also have a job to do, right? You know, I've been given this authority to enforce the law, and I try to do it in a way where people can at least leave the contact and go, hey, that was one of the nicest police officers I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
So I just try to flip the script. If someone's upset with me, I just try to be super nice and professional, like I always am. But, you know, just try to make it at least so it's a more relaxing contact than what they may be, you know,
what
maybe
they
have
might
experienced before.
Or what they might think it's going to be like.
Correct.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. All right, let's take a minute. I was very impressed, and not to say a little crowded in there, with all the equipment. You've just got so much going on in this vehicle. Tell our audience what's in there and what it's doing.
Well, you were lucky that day because I actually cleared out my passenger seat for you.
Did you?
But when you're not in the car, I have a seat divider, a seat organizer that sits on the backrest of the passenger seat. And in there is I have measuring tapes to help measure crash scenes. I hang my campaign cover.
Did you have that
hat
at the back of the vehicle?
Yeah, I just put it in the back seat.
Okay.
But I have an extra external bulletproof vest that can take, it's basically rifle rated. So if I had to go into a serious call, maybe there was a shooting in a public area, I can throw that over my uniform and that will stop a larger caliber of round. But that's a good, I'd estimate 10 pounds of equipment there.
Wow.
I have a LIDAR, which is a light detection and ranging instrument. So I have a radar on my dash and then LIDAR, which is basically a laser. So I can use that to determine someone's speed. Extra jackets, bulletproof helmet, all sorts of equipment.
Computers,
and I don't even,
computer, printers.
I have a rifle inside between the two seats, printers, So, I mean, I'm missing half of my equipment. There's radios, so much of it. Yeah, radio. Yeah, you just get so used to having it that
I
forget half of
it. I was just amazed. I mean, it wasn't that I didn't think you wouldn't be well equipped, but I just was amazed at all of it. And
plus, I'm wearing half of it, you know.
Plus, wearing everything that you were wearing. Yeah. Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, I'm just shy of 30 pounds heavier with my equipment on.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what is all that? So you've got one of those hit him with a stick things.
So I do. I have a baton. So I have a conductor. So I can kind of go.
Hey, listen, I know the technical language hit him with for the stick all of kind this. Of things,
yeah. So, you know, obviously I have my uniform, which is, I believe it's 100% wool. So it can be kind of heavy and a little warm in the summer. But I wear a bulletproof vest underneath my shirt. And then on my belt, I carry my duty weapon, which is a Glock 19, which we also have red dot sights and flashlights on them. And that goes in my, you know, holster, which is actually pretty thick plastic. I have my baton, pepper spray, two extra magazines for my firearm, handcuffs, my conducted energy device, or a taser, as most people commonly refer to them as.
What did you call it?
A taser, but it's a conducted energy device.
Energy device.
So you've
device.
Probably seen it where it shoots probes
out.
Then we hit our intended target, and the hope is that it will stop that intended target.
Right.
Yeah. So, and that's just some of the stuff I'm carrying. You know, I have stuff around my ankles, stuff in my pockets. It's a lot of stuff.
I felt beyond safe. I felt remarkably protected, though it wasn't there for me. It was for you.
Well, it was there for you as well. Yeah, to protect the public.
Yeah, that's true. Another observation. Well, first of all, yes, after a stop and it's all been done, whatever you're going to do has been done with that driver and they've been cited or warned or whatever, you go back and you have to enter all this into a computer for the record, which I just think people may miss that part of it's not over when it's over for you.
Yeah. So making the traffic stop, you know, I have to determine whether I'm going to make a stop or not, determine what the violation of law is, or if I have articulable suspicion to make the stop. Then I have to radio into dispatch, let them know where I'm at and who I'm stopping or what vehicle, turn the lights on, make the stop, approach the vehicle, contact the driver. But when I come back, let's say I've conducted my business, I've handled whatever I have to handle with the driver. When I come back, I have to then deactivate my lights. I have to notify dispatch of me clearing the stop, but then I have to turn off my video recording and I have to classify the video because all that stuff gets saved on, we have like an electronic server, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I have to give that some sort of classification, whether it was I cleared the stop with a verbal warning or whatever. And then if I do write a ticket or a warning, I have to write those notes in that system. So our system's called SWET. It's the statewide enforcement ticketing system, I believe is what it's called. So we have to do that and make those notes in there. So if I say I stop this person at 6 months and I run them, I'll be able to see my previous contact with them. So, I wrote this person a ticket 6 months ago. Or
another officer will see it,
that's
right?
Correct.
If somebody else stops them like 2 hours or 2 weeks later or 2 months later, they're going to see that information from your stop.
Yep, they will see it. So as long as they use that SWET system, I think I gave it the wrong name. It's statewide electronic ticketing.
Okay.
But yeah, any agency that uses that system.
Just ISP.
No, any agency.
Who else uses it? Do you think Bonner County Sheriff?
I'm not sure. I know there's some local, at least in Kootenai County, I believe, Kootenai County Sheriff's, maybe Coeur d'Alene Police Department use it. I know at least one of them do.
Okay.
But throughout the state, there are other agencies that use it. So yeah, as long as they use that system, they would see it.
Well, you mentioned it in answering that, in what you have to do at the very beginning. You have to make a really split-second decision.
Right.
Because they are sometimes, and I want to tell a story about this, but they're coming toward you and streaking past you. It's not like you're coming up on, you know, seeing someone passing you if you're along the side of the road. You have to decide immediately.
Yeah, we even discussed that on the ride along. I'm in the closing distance, right? If I'm doing the speed limits around here, we were working on the flats, right? 65 out there.
Yeah.
I'm doing 60. Someone coming at me at 75, 80 or what have you. Think about the closing distance.
They're
I have to make that decision. Am I going to stop this car? And then I have to look in my... I'm looking in front of me, obviously, to see if there's a gap.
Right.
But I'm also checking behind me and in my left side mirror because I need to make sure I'm not going to turn and get crashed into.
Yeah.
Which happens. Luckily, it's never happened to me because I'm very careful about it. But we have to make that decision. and then execute it immediately so we can get turned around safely.
Listen, he uses this little nice word, execute. I'm telling you that there was a speedster going really fast in the opposite direction. So we were like 60 or whatever going north, and this guy or lady, I don't know who it was going south like 70, 75 at least or more. I mean, they're just streaking gone. Right. And so you made the decision, and you said to me or yelled at me or something, you said, hold on. Yeah. I had no idea what was coming, Justin. And you made a U-turn. I know we weren't on two wheels, but I felt like we made a U-turn. I'm like thrown against the door. I'm like holding on. And I think we clocked over 100 miles an hour catching up with that guy.
Yeah,
because by the time you had slowed enough to make a safe U-turn, and there was a gap, no traffic either way. And then now you got to catch up with the guy.
Correct. Yeah, so I have to activate my lights just to let people around me know that I'm going to be going by you
happening.
And exceeding the speed limit. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that was a good stop.
Yeah.
In fact, we talked about this. I think all of your stops were good because whether it was the person being stopped or all those people that drove past you while you were talking to the driver and they saw it going on, I believe that you saved lives that day. You may not know who, but
yeah, we'll never know, right?
You saved lives that day just being out there, stopping. I mean, that's got to be a big part of what rewards you.
Yeah, you know, we always say, at least my saying is, my job is to, it's not to go out and write tickets. My job is to change driving behavior. And
exactly.
We can do that in so many different ways. I think that the basis, right, the bottom line is me being out there and turning my lights on is changing driving behavior. Because people see a police officer, the first thing, and I'll see people pass by me and I kind of laugh because you just see them lift their arm a little and they look down at the speedometer.
Exactly.
Hey, that's great. I do the same thing, right?
Exactly.
Especially when I'm off duty. I'm like, oh, am I speeding? I don't want to get a ticket.
Thank God for cruise control.
Right.
That's
But that's the first thing to change driving behavior. Just turn the lights on. But then I can do it. If I do make an enforcement action, I make a traffic stop. I can give a verbal warning, a written warning. I can write a citation. I can cite and release someone for a misdemeanor offense. Or the largest thing is I could arrest someone. Mm-hmm. And all of those things change driving behavior in a way, and how I use that level, you know, there are different levels of enforcement.
Exactly.
It just depends on the situation.
Yeah. And not just obviously the driver that stopped, but everybody going by, everyone that sees. The other thing, correct me if I'm wrong, but you've got like two radar, one looking forward and one that's looking back. And it's high. If they're going X speed, it's got a high note that you know how to read what that sound is, and you can hear it go. They're slowing down right then.
It's just a different pitch, a different tone and pitch. But we do. Most people, I've had people come up behind me at a high rate of speed, and I'm just cruising along at the speed limit with my cruise control on in the right lane.
And you know it because you've got radar looking back at them.
Correct. And most people, how did you? There's no way. I'm like, I have radar in the back too. And
exactly.
They're like, what? So yeah, we do have a front and rear radar antenna.
I know. We're letting all your secrets out today.
Yeah, I'd prefer people know, you know, there's no secret about what we do, and maybe giving some insight into this will get people to slow down.
I love that you called it changing driving behavior, because really that's what it's all about. I mean, yeah, okay, getting tickets and whatever, but, okay, thank you. But it's changing their behavior so they drive safer. The safer they drive, everybody's safe.
That's right.
I like it. All right, we're up against a break. We're going to take it right now.
Start your day off right with a breakfast from Spud's Waterfront Grill. Try their new signature jams, breakfast sandwiches, and tasty scrambles, plus delicious house-made soups and sandwiches, perfect for a hearty lunch on the go. Spud's is now open 7 days a week, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Got an event? Spud's catering options features baskets of sandwiches, large salads, and comforting crock pots of soup. Located on First Avenue in Sandpoint, check them out online, Spud's Waterfront Grill.
Hi, this is Chad from the Easy Home Buyer, and I pay cash for houses. Call me today at 208-877-6000. I buy houses in any price range and any location in the Spokane and Coeur d'Alene area and can get you your cash in as little as 1 week. Do you own a house that is vacant, in foreclosure, or needs thousands of dollars in repairs? sell to us as is. You won't have to make any repairs, and there are no commissions, no fees, and we pay all the closing costs for you. Do you have a tenant living in your property? Not a problem. We buy houses with tenants in them all the time. Do you think your property will be difficult to sell? Easy. We provide assistance for any situation. We understand that life throws us curveballs, and we would love to see how we can help you. If you want to sell your house fast at a fair price, call me today at 208-877-6000. That's 208-877-6000.
Pick up the phone to inquire. Call the Easy Home Buyer.
Colder weather means it's time for inside projects. Stop by Pro-X Home Decor Center today and see our large selection of in-stock flooring, including waterproof vinyl plank, carpet, sheet vinyl, and everything for your tile installation. Plus, schedule a free consultation with one of their design experts. See your dreams come alive in a 3D rendering with beautiful custom cabinetry from top brands like Medallion, Merillat, and Waypoint Living Spaces. Pro-X Home Center, your hometown everything store.
If you're a private landowner with even a couple of acres of timber, it's wise to periodically hire a professional logger to assess your property for threat of wildfire and disease. Then, work to minimize those threats with highly selective thinning. Careful, strategic thinning of the timber on your property not only helps minimize the risk of wildfire, disease, and pest infestation, but encourages new growth for long-term sustainability. Since 1990, Sierra Logging has been working with private landowners to help protect their assets. Property lines are clearly defined, roads carefully established or maintained. Leftover slash and brush is methodically piled and the site dutifully cleaned up afterwards. Log truck drivers are courteous and sensitive to landowners and their neighbors. And you, as a landowner, are paid directly by the sawmill. No middleman, ever. Phone Sierra Logging for a free consultation at 509-671-1158 or visit sierralogging.com and make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
News Talk 97.1 KSPT-KPFI.
Everybody, welcome back in. We've got it going on today with Idaho State Police Officer Justin Scotch. He's a sergeant with the Idaho State Police, and you are the supervisor for, correct me, traffic, right? Or no?
So I'm just a patrol sergeant now.
You're a patrol sergeant.
At one point, I was in charge of our DUI team and then helped run the North Idaho DUI Task Force, but that was a couple of years ago. Now I'm working primarily a day shift, so I work, you know, traffic and do some admin duties around our office.
And doing a great job. I want to say again, I enjoyed my ride along so much, you guys. It was so interesting. Let's talk about statistics. Sure. And I'm interested in how, so far in 2024, how are we doing compared to previous years for crashes and or vehicle fatalities?
Sure. So it's hard to pull numbers for the state because those usually don't come out. I bet our 2024 numbers, at least through the transportation department, won't come out until mid-2025. But I did some research this morning. So let's start with just with DUIs, because that's always a big thing, because impaired driving leads to serious crashes or sometimes fatalities.
And DUIs are not just alcohol.
Right.
They're drugs, marijuana.
Correct.
Yeah.
So last year, you know, this is a rough number because there could be a few more that maybe were charged later after like a blood result was sent to our lab. But I'm showing about 411 DUIs and that's just for the Idaho State Police in the five northern counties. This year so far, we've already charged 333 DUI cases. So, and we still have, what, a month and a half to go. So, unfortunately, that's too high of a number.
Yeah.
It's good that we are preventing these people from crashing. I mean, unfortunately, some of these are crash cases.
Yes.
But we're at least getting a large number of these people off the road before they crash.
So 300 and something.
333 this year.
333 so far. And we're heading into the season.
Correct.
And we're going to get into that for winter driving. All right. Well, that's good.
And that's just our agency, too. That's no other agency in the district, in the five northern counties. In terms of fatals, right now, just for ISP, our District 1, I'm counting 14 fatality crashes this year. For 2023, there were 32 total for District 1. So it does look like our fatality numbers are down for the entire five counties. But again, you know, we'll see at the end of the year.
Well, hopefully impaired driving and fatalities will stay relatively down compared. What would you attribute that to? If you know, what is causing either keeping it kind of the same or trending down, do you think?
Well, I certainly believe in the message provided by the North Idaho DUI Task Force. I mean, that task force is involved in all of our northern counties. We are out there heavily enforcing, you know, impaired driving laws. And we've seen, you know, the Treasure Valley down in Boise, they now have a task force very similar. And, you know, they're out there doing that hard, important work. So I truly think that message is helping. We did see an influx in DUI arrest during COVID. And that's because people were coming over into Idaho where the state was more open, and they were coming from, you know, neighboring states to come over and drink and go to the bars. We did have a large number. I think we were in the 600s. So numbers are going down because people aren't coming over as often. But I truly think our message is working. We just need to keep doing it.
And
keep
you
spreading that
and
message.
Other law enforcement agencies make presentations at high schools, and you talk to parent school groups, and you're out, you're not just on the road, working with people or stopping people. You're actually educating and training and reaching out to make people aware, right?
Absolutely. So we're big into community policing, right?
Yes.
So again, it's not just about traffic stops. So we go meet at schools. We do road safe presentations where we'll talk about, you know, winter driving, safe winter driving at
just
high schools or local
today.
Groups. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I've gone into different states and different countries to talk about our task force and how people and how states can implement these things to lower
where
their impaired driving.
Where have you been doing that in a foreign country?
Did you get to go to Mexico? No, I went up
Canada.
To Canada. I was in Edmonton, Alberta this summer for a conference, and I got to speak to a bunch of different authorities from the U.S. and Canada about our task force and how they could start it.
I love it. You're a rock star, Justice.
Well, thank you.
Justin, I mean, sorry. Anyway, yeah. All right. Well, what about emphasis patrols? That's another thing that everyone does, especially the DUI task force. They get into an area and they kind of saturate the area,
correct.
Right?
Yeah, we do that.
How does that
times.
Work?
So what we do is, you know, we have a task force commander, which that's a job that I used to have. And now we have a different sergeant in the state police. His name's Austin Rosedale. And he actually was a member of the DUI task force before when he was a trooper. Then he promoted and he took over the task force. So his job is to plan these events, and he'll work with the various agencies that are part of our North Idaho DUI task force. And he will schedule these events and talk to local police departments, see what their major events are, and we'll go in, like you said, we'll saturate that area, mm-hmm. just try to prevent those deadly crashes.
Right. Yeah, well, it works, you
it
know,
because
it's what I saw on the ride-along, where people, when they see you, when they see other people stopped, they slow down. It's like a reminder. We've got a couple of minutes before we take our next break, so let's get started on winter driving, because you will make presentations, I'm assuming, at schools, the task forces. What are some of the best winter driving must-dos? No choices here.
Well, you know, I see this every year, and I always think it's important to mention it, but, you know, we usually get that first snowstorm, and it seems to catch people off guard. The biggest thing is have good tires on your car. Mm-hmm. I see this all the time. People either still have their summer tires or they have no tread on their tires because they're running tires bald. They're running them past their prime. So make sure you're having good tires. But then when it comes to your driving, make sure you're scraping your windows off. You know, I've seen it before where people have the porthole through their windshield.
Yeah,
and
they do that.
They have like a 6-inch.
Or their rear view mirrors are covered up and blocked.
Absolutely. So you need to make sure you're cleaning off your car so you have good visibility.
Front and back.
Take more time. Give yourself an extra 10 minutes every day to drive. If you're running out of time, you're going to be speeding. You're going to be following too close. All of those things on icy or slick roads are going to cause a problem, because then you're going to be too close to the car in front of you. You're not going to be able to stop in time. You're going to hit them. You're going to push them into another car, and then we're investigating a collision. It's not good for anybody. So definitely have good tires, clean your car off, increase your following distance, and slow down.
Yeah.
If you can do those things, you'll certainly be in a better position to arrive to your destination safely.
And every one of the things you said is under the control of the driver.
Absolutely.
You're in control of this. And I think leave early is probably, in addition to slow down, leave early, slow down. And like, yeah, all the other, get the windshields cleaned off, front and back. And don't drive impaired. I mean, who would do that in 2024?
A lot
just
of people,
like,
unfortunately.
Just grow up and get a designated driver, absolutely, take a taxi, call a friend. Seriously, if it takes you some extra time to get home because you need to, you know, take care of business and get home safely, that is a lot better than ending up, let's say you're not even hurt that bad in a crash. Your car is going to be all in the repair shop. You may hurt somebody else. It's like, what are you
thinking?
Plus
you lose your driving privileges.
Yes.
That's huge. That's a huge administrative fine, if you will. You get fined. You have to have a breath testing instrument in your car, you know, that will allow it to stop, an interlock device, and then so allow it to start, excuse me. And then also you're going to lose your license.
Yeah.
For a short period of time, or maybe a long period of time.
Yes, we're up against a break again, but when we come back, I want to ask so our audience understands clearly, if you get stopped on a DUI and whatever kind of impairment is happening, what are the levels? I mean, what happens to you at that time? First offense, second offense, or does it even get that far? So we'll talk about that when we
absolutely
come back. Don't go anyplace. We got a lot going on for you.
As fall continues, we invite you into the co-op to see what's new for the season. Patty has brought in farmhouse cotton aprons from Crumb's Kitchen in a variety of country colors. We also have a selection of scented foaming hand soaps from Up and Autumn, all new this week. For those preparing for feathered friends, we have bat houses and bird houses, along with a wide selection of bird feeders, seed, suets, and bird seed blends. For the cat lovers among us, Suzanne has brought in cat towers and a variety of toys for our feline friends. Snow shovels, sleds, snow plow de-icer, and 60-pound tube sandbags are all in stock now to help you get ready for the late fall weather. It's all at the Co-op Gas and Supply Company at coopgasandsupply.com. 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, coopgasandsupply.com.
Is it time for you to consider a new career? Alta Forest Products may just have the perfect opportunity for you. The world's largest manufacturer of wood fence boards, Alta Forest Products, is currently hiring. Alta is looking for dedicated people to join their team now. Alta employs over 600 personnel across the Pacific Northwest and is currently hiring for their Naples, Idaho mill. Alta Forest Products offers one of the highest starting wages in North Idaho, as well as life, medical, dental and vision insurance, and a $500 signing bonus. No experience necessary. Join the Alta team now. Apply online at jobs@altafp.com. That's jobs@altafp.com. Made in America. Alta Forest Products is the world leader in quality wood fencing. Apply now. jobs@altafp.com. Alta Forest Products in nearby Naples, Idaho. Go to jobs@altafp.com.
My phone.
Hear that? It's the sound of a skater dropping her phone and smashing it on the ice. Yep, it's definitely broken. But at Verizon, we got you. Black Friday starts now. Trade in any phone, any condition from one of our top brands and get a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch 7 and Tab S9 FE 5G. That's up to $1,900 in value. So you'll save big on three great gifts. Hurry into Verizon this Black Friday. Service plan required for watch and tablet. Up to $1,900 value based on phone, watch, and tablet. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Retired or retiring soon? How much money do you need to live comfortably? Retirement Planners of America is here for you. Would you like to have financial peace of mind? Here's how. Step 1. Find out the amount of money you'll need to retire. Step 2. Have a plan to get there. Step 3. Make sure that plan can take advantage of market gains but protect you from market losses. Discover how to do all three with a free consultation at 800-508-6108. That's 800-508-6108.
All investments involve risk, including losses. Past performance does not guarantee future.
News Talk 97.1 KSBT KBFI.
Hey Hey, everybody, welcome in again. We have got Idaho State Police Officer Justin Scotch. He's a sergeant, and he's a good guy, and he's out there. He and his colleagues are out there keeping you safe. We're talking about winter driving, but we're also talking about impaired driving. I think people need to be reminded, if you have a first stop for a DUI, what happens?
So typically on a DUI investigation, a DUI traffic stop, the person will be arrested and they will go to jail that night.
This is the first stop.
First offense. Yeah.
You're in jail.
Yeah. So you, typically that person would be taken to jail. Their vehicle is going to be probably towed, likely. There's some certain things with that. If their car somehow is, you know, if they stop in a parking lot and it's legally parked, we're likely not going to tow it. But vehicle could be towed, person gets arrested, and they're going to be charged with that crime. So.
What kind of money? If it gets towed and impounded, they're going to have to pay to get it out? And what kind of fine would they face for a first offense?
Well, fine, it could be upwards of $1,000 just for the crime itself. But then you think about it, you're going to have to either, you know, you can get a public defender, or yep, you could hire your own lawyer. Excuse me. That could be, you know, thousands of dollars. So a lot to it.
It is so much cheaper to call a cab or call a friend.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like,
well, especially in 2024.
Oh my gosh!
Uber, Lyft, taxi, friend, bus.
Yeah,
you name it.
Bus.
You know?
You've got a lot available. Plan ahead, designated driver. What about if it's your second offense?
So second offense, you know, it's going to be increased fines. Well, you're going to have those same fines, right, for the actual offense itself, but then again the tow bill and lawyer fees. There's a lot of cost behind it. Also, you're going to have an interlock device put in your car, and that's a requirement per state code. So that's a device where, in order to get the engine started, you have to blow into it, provide a negative breath sample, and then as you're going down the road, it's going to check periodically to make sure that you're still a sober driver.
Didn't breathalyze and then start drinking.
Or have a friend do it. So there's a lot to it.
Oh my goodness. I hadn't even thought of that. I just don't think that way.
No, I totally understand. And then, you know,
about losing? When do you get your license suspended? What has to happen to where they're just like, you're not even going to get in your car?
So your license will be suspended after the first one. It just depends. So there's different penalties. If you provide a breath sample, let's say it's an alcohol DUI investigation, and you provide a breath sample, and let's say you're above the legal limit, you're likely going to lose your license for 90 days, with the first 30 days being an absolute suspension. If you refuse to do that breath test, it's going to be likely a year suspension. And then as you keep going, and let's say you have another DUI and another DUI, eventually you can be charged with the felony for it. So, you know, three DUIs.
And you may never drive again. Do you get permanently?
You know, there could be, let's say it's a fatality crash, and if you were impaired, the judge, I think, could impose that sanction of taking your license for good.
So here's the deal.
I've seen it in news articles throughout the country.
Drive sober, leave early, slow down, get good tires on your car. This is like total common sense.
Absolutely.
It should not be resisted. And if you are having trouble with alcohol, that's a different issue. Go get help for your alcohol abuse or your drug abuse.
Sure.
I mean, I know that's a different line. It's easy for me to say, but at least don't get in the car and endanger yourself, your family, and somebody else. If you want to drink, I don't want to say, okay, do it. But I'm just saying don't drive and drink, as the saying goes.
Well, and we're expecting a storm tonight. So.
Oh, my gosh. How timely is this? What's the most recent weather report, Justin, that you've heard?
It's changed. When I checked it yesterday, we were showing, I think it was 3 to 6 inches in the valley. Now they're showing 3 to 4 inches in the valley, but in the mountains we're looking at over a foot.
Yeah.
So, you know, any of the mountain passes, at least for us, it's Lookout and 4th of July. It could be bad, especially up here up north, you know, Athol north, all the way up to, you know, Bonner's Ferry area.
This is the real deal. I saw some people talking on Facebook, and they were saying, oh, they always give bad weather, and they exaggerate, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you haven't been here. You're obviously new to the area. Because when they put these kind of warnings out, You know, it's the real deal. It's right. Slick, it's dangerous, slow down. Absolutely. And take care. All right. I'm so glad you guys are out there, and the women also, all of your colleagues at ISP. I think we've got time for an update for our, if we have anyone out there interested in maybe exploring law enforcement, what's the training, how, and the training academy, how does that work for people?
Well, to start with that, you know, the nice thing is now with our hiring process, we usually would open it for a, you know, 3-4 weeks or whatever, and you would apply and then go through our hiring process. Now it is a continuous hiring process, so it's open continuously. You can go to our website and look for those trooper positions. And our academy, our next one starts in January. So our academy is quite long. It's upwards of, I believe, 5 months now, give or take a few weeks here and there. And then after you get through our academy, you would go to your designated district. So we have 6 districts throughout the state, and that's where you would start your field training evaluation program. So that's a 14-week process.
14 weeks, and that's some serious ride-along time.
Right, that is on-the-job training.
On-the-job.
So you will ride with your field training officer, and then they will ride with you. So you'll get to see how they conduct business, and then they'll watch you conduct business and teach you along the way. So it's about a year. It's about a year from hiring till, and then getting out on your own before you really get out there and do the job of trooper alone.
I think we've got time for one more thing that you told me that I found very interesting is how in learning to understand the radar or read the speeds that are given you, you have to be able to, in your own estimation, judge that speed in addition to the technology. Explain that very quickly to our audience. That's so interesting.
Yeah, so I can't just hit the button on the radar and go, okay, that person's speeding. So I have to estimate their speed, and I'm required to be within 5 miles per hour plus or minus of the estimation of their actual speed. So once I estimate the vehicle speed, I then hit the button on the radar. I then get that tone and that readout. So I have to have a smooth, steady tone in that vehicle. You know, and if we have a big brick of traffic, sometimes that can be hard to discern which vehicle
that's
the target vehicle. So it takes a lot of, it actually takes a lot of skill, and we're required, we're tested on it. We have to successfully estimate speeds of vehicles and then get a correct reading.
Yeah,
so there's a lot
within
to it.
5 miles per hour up or down. So it's not just the technology, it's the skill, as you say, and the knowledge and the experience of the officer to be, you know, in on that. Also, just like we said with that U-turn, there's got to be a gap in traffic. You make a fast decision, but that doesn't mean you just, you know, go in front of people.
Right.
I mean, I suppose that people think that, but when you experience it, you see how important it is. All of these judgments that you're making are really, really interesting.
Definitely, there is some skill to it, you know, in the driving and the operating our equipment.
I've got one more area I want to get to because you taught me this. I hadn't thought of it before I went on this ride along. And that was what you emphasized several times to me about how your job is customer service. And I hadn't thought of it that way before. I hadn't really, you know, narrowed in on that. But it made sense to me because your interactions were positive. Your interface with the people you saw was always very calm. So no matter what happened, the idea was that they would drive away not angry upset and not ready to go, I don't know, or hurt somebody or hurt themselves. It is about customer service.
Absolutely,
isn't
you know, and we're out there, again, not just to make traffic stops, but you know, there's times where we'll have broken down vehicles or people with blown tires and they don't know how to change it or they don't have the equipment to do it.
Yeah.
So we're out there also helping stranded motorists, and we do a lot for the public. Mm-hmm. So, and the hope is that when we leave that contact, they can go, hey, that was actually very positive, and hopefully the next officer that they deal with will have a positive encounter with that person because they know that we can be trusted.
Yeah, exactly. I was just really impressed with, as I say, I got to kind of listen in on what you were saying, how you did it, and how you approached from beginning to end. And it was very, Justin, it was very impressive.
Glad
you just
it.
Totally
glad,
impressed
glad you
me.
Came along.
I know. And everybody I know wants to come with you. I'm not giving them your number, though. I don't know. You just, they're going to be.
Well, they know where I work.
They're
so.
Going to be lining up. Exactly. Well, that's going to be the last word. Kudos to you and all of your colleagues at the Idaho State Police, all of their, and that community for their help and dedication to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next week, we're going to get a full-on, complete report report from Katie Bagalki all about the organization and vision, the incredible services they offer. We'll get details about the upcoming Festival of Trees. You know, there's something for everyone to share, to give, and to enjoy, for the kids too. So until next Tuesday, this is Barbara saying please take care, slow down out there, love each other, and may God richly bless you, my friends.